Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, let's call him our guest host for this hour. Howie Hawkins, the Green Party candidate for President of the United States, joining myself, Kevin Battle, and Paul Zeiss today. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been on the program a few times already, and we always appreciate your time. You're a 2020 presidential candidate, and can you just give the listeners a brief background on the Green Party?
Sure. We're trying to be a party to represent working people and not be funded by the big corporate special interests like the Democrats and Republicans, who are not responding to what the people want. We're for Medicare for all, Biden and Trump are not. We're for a Green New Deal. It's our signature issue, and Biden and Trump are not. We want to cut military spending and get out of these endless wars. And Trump just announced more troops for Syria. And Biden said last week he may raise the military budget. So we represent a real alternative. And I think we stand where the majority of people stand on some of these key issues.
Now, some of these key issues, the majority of the people, if they do agree with you, they're not going to have a choice to see your name on the ballot here in Pennsylvania because the rules for voting have changed. The districts were redrawn a couple of years ago. Ballots with improper signatures are going to be accepted. And the Green Party, which you earned 50,000 votes here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania last time, a state that President Trump beat Hillary Clinton in by only 44,000 votes. I think you see why people are a little bit upset with the changes in the process and the mail-in ballot issue.
Yeah, and even more than the Green Party, it's the voters of Pennsylvania that have been hurt by these gains. You know, they don't have all their choices on the ballot. And the way the Democrats and Republicans treat the Green Party makes us pawns on their chess game. So the Democrats try to keep us off. Behind the scenes, Republicans, you know, help us get petition signatures. We don't even know what they're doing. It's like the dark money that both parties are taking and the hundreds of millions of dollars. We don't know where that money comes from, either for Biden or Trump and their super PACs. So it's not a good way to run an election. In this country, we have the two governing parties administering their own elections. In other democracies around the world, you have an independent, nonpartisan agency administer elections. So what happened in Pennsylvania was the Democrats challenged our signatures and the paperwork of the favorite daughter that stood in on the petition before the Green Party convention came up with our nominees. So we had to do substitutions. And there was a paperwork screw up on the vice presidential candidate. And they ruled that she can't be on because that paperwork didn't come in properly. But I could be on. That was in a lower court that was Republican majority. Then it went to the state Supreme Court, Democratic majority. And they said, I can't run without a vice presidential running mate, even though our electors were good as well. And that's what's happened we've been fighting this in other states as well. And it's strictly partisan at the election board level or the election commission's level and in the courts. The Democrats vote to keep us off and the Republicans keep a vote to keep us on without reference to the facts and the law. In the case of Wisconsin, they held up making a decision in their state Supreme Court until it came right up against the absentee ballot deadline. And then they said we're too late, although the facts and the law were clear we should have been on the ballot. In the case of Pennsylvania, the Democrats, we turned in double the number of signatures we needed, and they challenged over half our signatures. So we had to spend weeks documenting these people were actually qualified voters who signed our petition. And once we had that documentation, which cost us money and time, the Democrats said, okay, we're dropping that objection. So they got us on that paperwork, which is trivial. You know, the voters don't care about that. In the end, they know who our vice presidential candidate is. You know, the state does. But because of the paperwork not being done properly the first time, we got knocked off.
Do you think that there's any chances that you can reverse some of this stuff, or is it pretty much over and now you just got to hope that a lot of your supporters write you in?
Yeah, we're going to have to write in Pennsylvania and in Wisconsin. We're on the ballot in over 30 states around the country, and most of the other states we're write in. There are a couple of states like South Dakota and Nevada that don't even count write-ins, so we won't be an option in any way in those two states.
Now, when people do, when a third party does gather signatures, you have to gather a certain amount of signatures from every region in the state, correct? You can't just show up like in Philadelphia and get 10,000 signatures, whatever.
I don't know the answer to that in Pennsylvania. There are 50 states, District of Columbia, and Guam does an advisory presidential vote. Every state and jurisdiction has different rules. I know that was an issue in Montana where we had plenty of signatures, and then the Democrats went around and started harassing people to withdraw their signatures. Their signatures were like affidavits signed and witnessed by the petition gatherer. The way people got off, and it was to get off just because they were being harassed by these Democrats, they just wrote an email to the Secretary of State. There's no law, no provision for that in election law. But as it went through the courts, the Democratic judges said we're off. The Republican judges said we should be on, which, you know, is not an argument on the facts and the law and the merits. It's strictly partisan, which is no way to run an election that is giving people all their choices.
Well, and it's funny because the party that seems to fight having you on the ballot the most is the Democrats, and they are always the ones that are fighting for inclusion and fighting for, you know, against voter disenfranchisement and voting. You know, they're fighting here to have so that the signatures don't have to match necessarily, and ballots should still count. It's kind of interesting that they're the ones that are fighting you being on the ballot the most.
Oh, it's totally hypocritical. They talk voter inclusion, but party suppression is a form of voter suppression. You mentioned Jill Stein got 50,000 votes, and the margin was 44,000 votes between Clinton and Trump last time. But we know from exit polls that 61% of Jill Stein's voters would not even have come and voted if she wasn't on the ballot. So she wasn't on the ballot if the Democrats were successful in knocking us off last time. Wouldn't have made a difference. The thing that makes the big difference and has enabled these basically right-wing losers like Bush and Trump to win the presidency is, first of all, black voter suppression. Almost 200,000 black voters either purged from the rolls or didn't have their ballots counted in Florida in 2000, or like in Michigan, 75,000 votes in Detroit never counted. And those voters were overwhelmingly would have voted for Clinton, where the margin there was in Michigan. It was like just over 10,000 votes. So it's not the Green Party that did that. And you get beyond that, and then Bush in 2000 and Trump in 2016, they lost the popular vote, almost 3 million votes in 2016. And it was the Electoral College that installed the loser in the presidency. Green Party didn't do that. So you would think the Democrats, if they wanted to solve this problem, because you know, there hasn't been a Republican first elected in the 21st century who won the popular vote, you think they'd go after the Electoral College and embrace the reform we've been talking about since 2000, and that is replace the Electoral College with a national popular vote and use ranked choice voting, which gets rid of the spoiler issue that the Democrats are so worked up about. And also the Republicans, they overestimate our influence. And, you know, in the background, they're trying to get us on the ballot. And basically, we bring new voters to the polls. The Democrats can't assume that our voters would vote for their candidate. And in fact, it may backfire on them in Wisconsin. My running mate, Angela Walker, ran for sheriff of Milwaukee in 2014 against a very conservative Democratic sheriff, got 67,000 votes. She's a native daughter of black Milwaukee. How do you think they feel now that they threw her off the ballot this year? I'm not sure knocking us off the ballot helps the Democrats because they assume we're going to vote for them. But our people, they vote for our green voters are green voters for the most part. They would vote for us. And if we're not on the ballot, they stay home. So, yeah, to talk about voter inclusion and then try to keep us off the ballot is a contradiction.
In our last segment, you mentioned things about the Electoral College and the popular vote. Donald Trump lost the popular vote. A lot of people make a big deal about that. Our election is basically 50, we have 50 innings of this ball game. There's 50 elections. Each state does their election, so do the territories and such. You want to do away with the Electoral College. Would that not make cities like New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles more powerful? Because if you add up the difference in votes between those three cities, that's where Hillary Clinton ran up her vote score.
Well, of course it would. They are underrepresented now via the Electoral College. I mean, democracy is based on political equality. Every voter is equal. But the Electoral College distorts that and gives extra power the way it's worked out from the beginning of this country. I mean, the Electoral College gave the South 3/5 for every black person who was enslaved, even though they couldn't vote. And ironically, after slavery was abolished and after Reconstruction, Jim Crow was instituted, those black voters were 5/5 in terms of representation, but they couldn't vote. So that overrepresented the Southern Dixiecrat. And the way it's worked out now is, you know, white rural America gets overrepresented compared to cosmopolitan urban America. And if we're talking about a democracy with political equality, it should be one person, one vote. So I think there's no justification for the Electoral College in a democracy.
But are we not a representational republic, though?
Well, yeah, but one person, one vote, and then you elect your representatives. And the way to do it so everybody's equal is to have a system where each vote is equal. So the Electoral College isn't what defines us as a republic. It's the fact that we elect representatives. And we actually undermine ourselves as a real republic by giving some people more votes, more weight than others.
Well, I understand that argument at times, but at other times I look at the states that you're talking about in the Midwest and even in the, you know, like North Dakotas, and I mean, the number of electoral votes they have is so small. I don't know that they're necessarily overrepresented. I mean, Republicans, in order to win, have to basically win every one of those states and they still don't counter California.
Well, they did in 2016. They did in 2000. You know, it has distorted the result. The popular vote loser ended up in the White House. So, you know, Texas is a big electoral state. And it has been Republican for a long time. Georgia is a big electoral state. Florida has swung back and forth. It's a big electoral state. So it's not just the small electoral states that benefit the Republicans.
Let's talk about something else that may soon change. That would be the Supreme Court. And, you know, we had the passing of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg last week. And there's been a movement, people talking about stacking the court or keep 9 on the Supreme Court, keep 9 justices on the. So there's two different sides to this argument. What are your feelings on that?
Well, there are other ways to deal with the Supreme Court. It has been given too much power. It's become a super legislative council of elders, and it has too much power in terms of judicial review. That is striking down laws. That was not in the Constitution. It came out of the decision early in the history of the Supreme Court and has enabled them to veto what the people's representatives in Congress have advocated. So one solution there, and Congress can do this, is either to end judicial review or have a supermajority requirement to strike down a law. The other thing is, you know, the issues that progressives are concerned about with a conservative court, like civil rights and abortion rights, there are legislative remedies to that. You know, the Supreme Court, the conservative Supreme Court said, we don't need the preclearance provision of the Voting Rights Act. And it was repealed. And suddenly you have all these efforts immediately to suppress black voters by voter purges and not putting enough polling places in black communities, you know, photo ID. And black people tend to more likely to use public transportation than have their own car. And that's an issue of poverty. It isn't just black people that get hurt. It's all poor people. Or they have rules like student ID doesn't count in Wisconsin and Texas, which hurts, say, Madison, Wisconsin. Those students tend to vote Democratic. So you got all these games going on. Well, they can pass a law. Congress can pass a law to restore the Preclearance Act. That meant if you change the voting rules, you have to get preclearance from the Justice Department. So there's a remedy there. Or take Roe v. Wade. The Congress could pass legislation codifying that. And that would, you know, overdo any repeal of Roe v. Wade by a conservative court. So it's not the end of the world if, you know, the Republicans get to appoint another conservative, although it would not be good from my point of view, certainly. I'm just saying we have other remedies and ways of advancing progressive goals despite the Supreme Court.
Well, you talked at the start about the fact that you guys are for Medicare for All and a number of other initiatives. I think that those are some of the things that the Democrats have sort of tried to co-opt a little bit. And although, you know, Joe Biden has generally been a moderate, he's running more a little bit left of center. And the progressive wing is becoming more and more powerful in the Democrats. Do you think that would influence your people to vote for them?
Not if they're following what the Democrats are really saying. The one who is saying the Democrats are, liberal, even socialist, is Donald Trump and the Republicans, which is absurd. I mean, the last debate between Sanders and Biden in the Democratic primaries, Biden was very adamantly opposed to Medicare for All. He said it was irrelevant to the COVID pandemic, which is a strange thing to say. He's clear. There are progressives who have advocated Medicare for All in the Democratic Party, but even they are retreating. I mean, Bernie Sanders now says in supporting Biden, he will accept a compromise where you have Medicare for All for 55 and over, and the rest you have still these hundreds of insurance companies, which creates all this costly overhead where providers try to figure out what your plan is, whether the treatment or procedure they want to do is covered. Then they got to bill the insurance company, which sometimes says, no, we're not going to pay as much as you're billing us. And it costs a third of the healthcare dollar just figuring all that stuff out. That's the advantage of Medicare for All, the efficiency. And Bernie Sanders is, basically thrown that out the window. He went into the Democratic Party to move it to the left. I'm afraid the Democratic Party moved him to the right. And then the Green New Deal, that was our signature issue. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ed Markey and them put in their non-binding resolution for a Green New Deal, they took the slogan and diluted the content, like a ban on fracking and new fossil fuel infrastructure, which is the first thing we got to do on climate action, or else we'll be locked into decades more of fossil fuel burning. And in the end, they extended the deadline to zero out carbon emissions from 2030 that we were talking about to 2050. And Pelosi never let them vote on it in the House. When it got voted on in the Senate, because McConnell wanted to put all those Democratic presidential senators, candidates who are senators, on the record, the Democrats all voted present, except four of them voted with the Republicans no on this watered-down Green New Deal. So we're not getting a Green New Deal from the Democrats. And then those words weren't even uttered at the Democratic convention this year. And it's not in their platform. It's not in Biden's policies. So you get talk but no action. And that's why, a lot of people support us because they want a real Green New Deal. They still want Medicare for All. So I don't think the Democrats have moved to the left. I think they've co-opted, some progressives, understandably, because they're scared to death of Donald Trump. But they're not getting any progressive reforms from a Biden administration.
Another thing that was not mentioned in the Democratic platform at their convention were they did not address the tensions or the social unrest in the streets. Can you address that a little bit?
Yeah. Congress has this bill, I forget the name of it, but it's about use of force policies, improving them so the police don't abuse people, which is fine. But Eric Garner was suffocated to death by a chokehold in New York City 20 years after they banned chokeholds by officers. The problem is the police themselves through internal affairs. And until we talk about community control of the police, where we have police commissions, either publicly elected or even selected by lot, like juries, that represent the community, who can hire and fire the police chiefs, oversee the policies and budgets, and then independently investigate and discipline misconduct, the police are going to work for themselves and get away with these crimes. That's something that the Democrats certainly aren't talking about. And then there's this talk about defunding the police. I think what that really means is we need more money in things like housing the homeless instead of charging them with vagrancy, and treating the drug addicted instead of giving them criminal charges, and sending mental health counselors when people are having mental health crises rather than cops who aren't prepared to deal with that. We're asking the police to do more than they're trained to do. And on the other side, they're not so good at dealing with the violent crime, which is only 5% of what they do, and the serious property crime like burglaries and carjacking. They only get, this is according to the Vera Institute of Justice study a few years ago, they only clear those crimes in 25% of the cases with arrest. And the statistic that really jumps out is 60% of the victims of those crimes don't even report them to the police. Because a lot of people are afraid, well, I was at the scene of the crime, and even though I say I was a victim, they may charge me. I mean, the trust is so low. So we got to improve what the police do with those serious crimes, and then get other people dealing with these other issues, which are not really police issues. And then, you know, to provide those services, there's not enough money in the police budgets to house the homeless, for example. We need a federal program to invest in our cities and improve these racially oppressed communities that have been segregated, discriminated, and exploited for generations, and invest in the schools and the housing, create jobs and businesses. That's the way to deal with the roots of the crime that, you know, we've seen uptick during this COVID depression.
And speaking of COVID-19, 2020 presidential candidate for the Green Party, Howie Hawkins, joining us here on KDK Radio. We really appreciate all your time, sir. One of the big issues here in Pennsylvania are the strict lockdowns due to COVID-19. Our restaurants still are only at 50% capacity. Last call for alcohol still 11 p.m. You have to social distance and everything like that. The parents still not allowed to go watch their children play high school football or soccer or anything like that. So very little congregation allowed. How would you have handled the COVID-19 issue?
I would have invoked the Defense Production Act to have a federal program to get testing, contact tracing, and isolating those infected or exposed. And that would have suppressed community spread of the virus so we could go back to work in the schools safely. They did that in most European countries. They did it in most of the Pacific Rim countries. They did it in countries in the global south like Burundi and Thailand. We totally blew it. I don't know what Trump is doing. He said, COVID wins. I'm a loser on this. I'm just moving on. So we've got this high level of community spread. We got 4% of the world's population and a quarter of its COVID deaths and infections. It's a total failure. But there was, you know, Trump could have been the hero of this if he just listened to public health advice.
Yeah,
the lockdowns could have been temporary while you do the testing, tracing, and isolating those exposed or infected. And we haven't done that effectively. And that's why, you know, the epidemiologists say we may double the number of deaths between now and the election. That's how the University of Washington, as we go into the fall, which is scary. I know people that have died. I know many people that got sick. And it just seems it's tragic. It shouldn't have got to this point.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people would have agreed to a short, brief lockdown of everything. No special interests were allowed to run around or anything like that. No certain industries were given favor over others. A lockdown meant a lockdown for all, and we were going to do a 15 days to slow the spread or a 30-day to slow the spread. I think everybody understood that. But now we're on day 185 to slow the spread. Day 185 of 15 days to slow the spread. So I guess, yeah, you're right. We botched it. Even though the governor here in Pennsylvania said that the Trump administration gave them all the PPE and all the help they needed.
Yeah, but the testing and contact tracing and isolation has not been done, except in a very few small jurisdictions, to the scale it needed to be done, like they did in these other countries. And that's why it's still spreading. And because of the confusing advice from the top, you know, people, where there is contact tracing, people are not cooperating because, you know, nobody quite knows, you know, what they're supposed to do because it's been very unclear from the top. The CDC says one thing, President Trump says another. Then you get guidance from CDC. It turns out it came from Trump, not the doctors. And so then they change it again. And everybody is like, they don't know who to believe.
Right. And the CDC just removed some guidance regarding aerosolized droplets of COVID-19 and how it can spread as well. So, yeah, it is a mess. I do agree with you there. A 2020 presidential candidate for the Green Party, Howie Hawkins. We really appreciate you spending such a long time with us today. Best wishes and best of luck in your campaign. I'm sorry that you got booted off the ballot here in Pennsylvania, because I know a lot of people were looking forward to voting for you. Can they still write you in, or is that not allowed anymore?
No, there's write-in in Pennsylvania, so they can still write us in, and we'll welcome their vote. And, you know, we're raising issues that the two major parties are not. So if they want Medicare for all and a Green New Deal and new priorities, less on the military, more on human needs and environmental protection, we're the vote, where people will hear that vote. You know, if you want those things and you vote for Biden because you're scared of Trump, you voted for Biden and he's against those things. So as a progressive, you're better off voting for what you want, using your voice and your power and making whoever's elected come to you.
Howie Hawkins, thank you very much for joining KDK Radio today.
Thank you.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.